This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding out on Old Dan again this morning. Come on, Dan. Maybe morning where you are, and that light nighttime in other places. But we're bringing you God's message. We're looking at a series of messages. We have been now for a few days on this title, Demon Possession, or The Work of Demons. And we're looking at studies about Satan and his kingdom, Satan and his reign, and all of those things. And baptism with the Holy Spirit and baptism with a demon spirit. These are quite interesting studies. I hope you'll listen. And then write for some of these messages on CD. We were looking there in our last study. We were looking at the reign of Satan. And we were looking at disembodied spirits. Therefore, demons and evil spirits are synonymous. Then we saw there in Luke 8:2, they're called evil spirits. The angels are never called spirits. Now, let's distinguish between angels and demons. Angels are not disembodied spirits, but demons are. This distinction was very clearly understood by the Jews, because there in Acts 23:9, the Pharisees cried out concerning Paul and said, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." So the Jews were very clear in their understanding of the difference between spirits and angels. Then, we have found in our studies here that in Satan's kingdom, there is Satan himself. There are the fallen angels, which are his lieutenants, principalities, powers, and princes, which rule with him in his control of this earth. They are demon spirits, disembodied spirits, who are under his control, dwellers in his kingdom. Then we come to the fourth class. Every man outside of Christ is a member of Satan's kingdom. The third chapter of Genesis sets forth the fall of man, and we find in this chapter how Satan led man to his wreck and ruin. Man is held captive by Satan, kept under his dominion, and man worships Satan. Satan is a religious being. He lives and moves in a religious realm. And I'm hammering upon that thing because I just don't believe that many of our folks understand those things and go about ignorant of how powerful this individual is, Satan, and that he's a real individual, live and well. And I know I'm repeating some of those things, but I want you to get a good, clear concept. Before we go any further, let's notice this one great lesson, and may we learn it well, and that is rebellion is ruin. I don't care how noble, how wise, how fair its leader may be. We see here in Lucifer, the highest created being of the universe, the loftiest of all angels. Listen now, we see here the loftiest of all the angels of God, an example of the fall from the highest estate to the lowest depths, and he will finally be plunged into the lake of fire because of his rebellion. Oh, my friend, what a sad commentary. There is but one attitude for any created being to take, and that is entire submission and unreserved obedience to the will of God, who created him, who sustains him day by day. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. So I ask, why will you rebel against God? I don't know. The reason you're not saved is because of rebellion. Now, my friend, I have many folks write me and tell me that they're not saved. I have folks in my congregation who tell me they're not saved. I attempt to put my finger on those things, and I have a pretty good understanding. Folks are not saved because their will has never been broken. They've never been made to lie at the feet of Christ in submission. But you could say it's because of rebellion, the stock root of it. Now, you put that down. Rebellion is ruin. The reason you're not saved is because of your rebellious heart, individual. Every moment, the very moment that rebellion is broken, you take your place as a lost sinner at the feet of Christ, he'll save you. The Lord will save you. I guarantee you the Lord will save you. Folks call me doom and gloom preacher. No, sir, I don't. That's no such a thing. I bring you God's word that Christ died for sinners. As we said, every man out of Christ is a member of Satan's kingdom. For you to become a member of the kingdom of Christ, you must be delivered from Satan's kingdom and be made a member of the kingdom of the Son of God. Now, my friend, I know that this is foreign to many of our listeners because you don't hear it. No. Preachers are afraid to speak on demon spirits and demonic things, and they're afraid to do it. Just like the book of Revelation, our modern-day preacher will not go there and preach messages out of it. They said they don't understand it. It's not for us today, but it is. Every person out of Christ is embedded in the world of Satan's kingdom just as firmly as rock is embedded in a quarry. God says, "Look unto the rock whence ye were hewn, and the hole of the pit whence ye were digged." The hands of the Almighty Savior alone can dig the soul and loosen it from its natural state and deliver it from Satan's kingdom. Now every soul is buried in the dungeon of sin, and only the Lord, only God can deliver it. Now, my friend, that's so plain to me. It's just as plain as night and day. You're helpless and hopeless outside of the power of Christ, the blood of Christ to deliver you. So I just asked you, let me just stop here and slow down for just a moment. Maybe we've losing you along the way there somewhere. Let me ask you something. What is your hope? Is it to walk and talk and try to live a good life and clean up your life? And then, no, God's child has been delivered from the prince of this air, from the power of Satan, from the presence of Satan, has been delivered there unto the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God of heaven looked out over Satan's kingdom, seeing the end from the beginning, and selected. Now listen now. Folks are getting mad with me when I begin to speak about God's election. But he's seeing the end from the beginning and selected and elected in number which no man could number, and wrote their names in the book of predestination and counted these as his own and gave them unto the Lord Jesus Christ as trophies of his grace. The Lord Jesus Christ stood good for every one of them, and in the fullness of time died on the cross for them and paid their sin debt in full. Is that real to you, my friend, that Christ died for you? I was speaking last night on the crucifixion of Christ. Christ went there to the garden the night of his betrayal, and he was in the garden praying, and he made this statement. He said, "Father, if it could be thy will, let this cup pass from me." Did you understand that? Do you realize what he was saying here? All a long time, I never understood what he's saying. But I believe that he was looking in a symbolic cup that held all the sins of this group whom he had elected. Their collective sins were in that cup. And our Lord looked in that cup, and he saw those sins. He saw my sin. He saw your sin. And he knew what he was going to suffer to atone for those sins of you and me. And he said, "Father, if it could be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Oh, Lord, what mercy, what grace. Then he went from there to Pilate's court and Herod's court and Caiaphas' court, went there to the scourging rack, went there to be nailed to the cross, and was hung there between heaven and earth, and cried out this immortal cry, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." His blood was shed there. Was it shed for you, my friend? It was. It was. It was. And then he was taken down and buried in Joseph's garden there in Joseph's tomb. And 3 days and three nights later, he arose. Aren't you glad he arose? That was the subject of our message. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. Isn't that a gracious song? He lives. We sang that song here. He lives. He lives within my heart. We don't serve a dead Christ. No, Satan is not our master. We serve the living God. But Satan is our foe. He's our mortal foe. Oh, my friend, listen. What grace that he would carry out his part of that covenant and pay the bond that was written against every one of us, his elect. Then the Holy Spirit came, called out everyone for whom Christ had died. And that's his business. That's his purpose in the world today. Satan is here, but also the Holy Spirit is here. As I bring God's message, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and carries it to the heart of his elect, giving that individual the effectual call, and awakens that individual to his lost condition, his ruined condition. We often speak here of awakened sinners and an awakening ministry. And I have folks write me and call me, honestly, sincerely. They say, "Trailblazer, what you talking about when you say awakened sinner? What you talking about when you say an awakening ministry?" Well, my friend, it's so plain. When the Lord God of heaven when the Lord God went back to heaven, He sent the Holy Spirit here to awaken, call out, whatever how you want to call it, to disturb those individuals. They were sinners just like everybody else, but they were chosen. They were a chosen generation found there in Peter. He says, ye are a chosen generation. The Holy Spirit came, and through the Word of God, preached and taught under the power of the Holy Spirit, the Word sinks home to that heart like a barbed arrow, dagger. And you begin to see for the first time that you're a sinner, a lost sinner, a ruined sinner, a wretched sinner, a wicked sinner in the sight of God with no hope. And then in time, God grants you grace to take the blame. Have you ever taken the blame? Folks ask me, what is repentance? I tell them, taking the blame. Oh, I see so many folks who won't have the blame. Not me. I'm not to blame. I'm not to blame for anybody. No, but you might be. Have you ever taken the blame, my friend? You old hard-nosed devil, have you ever taken the blame? You old trucker out there on the highway, mean as a snake, have you ever taken the blame for how you treat your wife and family? Oh, you say, Trailblazer, you're going to meddling now. Well, did you know that my business is to meddle in your business and to ask you if you know the Lord? I have folks get mad with me when I call their, I don't call their name, but I call their number. And I know how folks live. I know how you live. And I do, because I've been there. I was there one day. I was that lost sinner, living in sin. But the Holy Spirit came to my heart through the preaching of the gospel, just like these simple messages on the old Trailblazer. And that arrow went home to my heart and showed me that I was a lost sinner. I had no goodness whatsoever. I had no grace in my life. And I was on the road to a devil's hell. And the Lord showed that to me. But He gave me grace to look away. Look over there at Calvary. Look there where the blood was poured down. Did you ever take a look at Calvary? Look there at our Lord hanging on the cross. The blood just a-dripping, dripping, dripping, and dripping out of His life. And the old thief there next door to Him, his was dripping too. And he knew he wasn't going to live very long. And you say, well, what happened? The Spirit awakened that individual there on the cross, and he cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Did you know our Lord has a kingdom? Yes, sir. He's seated at the right hand of God, interceding for poor old Trailblazer, poor old Pendarvis. He's interceding for me now because we don't live without sin, my friend. Did you know we have a confession box? 1 John 1:9, I believe, says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. We're kind of rumbling around at this time all over the page, but my friend, I'm just bringing you what the Lord lays on my heart. We're looking at old Satan. He's a good old devil. Did you know it? He's up and about his business. He never sleeps nor slumber. But my friend, he's a defeated foe. One day he'll be cast into the lake burning with fire and brimstone forever and forever. But not now. He's the god of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. So I asked you, would you write to old Trailblazer and let me know if you're listening? Maybe you're hearing me for the first time. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And then go there to my website, radiomissions.org, and you can pull up our webpage there and see a picture of the old Trailblazer and many of our other studies there. And if you would, sit down and write me then. Help me with the broadcast, if you would. Goodbye, and God bless you.
I see.